One sister put it this way. You came to the gate of heaven, and the Lord said, go back, I'm not ready for you yet. I thank you for your prayers. They really work, you know. Several times at night, there am I enjoying the presence of the Lord. And with all due respect to you nurses, I know you have your duty, but they kept bothering me. Are you comfortable? Do you want a tablet? I felt like saying, please leave me alone, but that wasn't. And that was your prayers. Comfortable through it all. Opening up the chest and looking at the heart and working up. Oh my, that's something. Thanks for your prayers. Now, our subject. And what I've liked about this conference is all of these subjects can be stated what I call very succinctly. Just a few words and you have the subject and you take it home. Friday night you spoke of work. That wasn't hard to remember, was it? And then last night our brother spoke on fatal attraction. That wasn't hard to remember. And now this afternoon we're going to speak on the subject, the believer as a bondservant. Oh, you say to me, I didn't come all the way to this conference to hear that I'm a servant. Well, if you're a believer, you should be a servant. Romans 10 and 9. The believer has a bond servant. Or better still, a bond slave. Oh, please don't utter that word. I don't want to be a slave. Well, again I say, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a bond slave. And we shall look into that word. Romans 10 and 9. Well, no. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now many of us were led to the Lord as a result of the reading and the explanation of this verse. Now I'm going to read it a little different. It's different in many of your Bibles, and it's more correct. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord. Is that what you did when you took the Lord Jesus Christ? Did you confess him as Lord? Well, then you were saved. Because that's what the word means. Now, in a few weeks, a new perversion of the Bible will be coming out. And in that perversion, the word Lord applying to God does not occur. You won't find Lord in there. Applying to our Lord Jesus Christ, or to God, or any of the deities. Why have they taken out the word Lord? Why don't they want Lord in there? Well, I don't want to be subject to anybody. This is a new age. I want to be free. Now, generally, there is no such thing as genuine freedom. Romans chapter 6. No such thing as absolute freedom. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, of whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Now, be thankful to God that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of teaching, as our brother has been speaking, which was delivered unto you. Being made free from sin, you have become the servants of righteousness. Verse 22. Now being made free from sin and become the servants of God, you have your fruits unto holiness. You are either a bond slave of sin and Satan, or a bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have no choice. But people talk about liberty. I want to be free. I don't want to be a bond servant. But let me just say this. If you go back to the Old Testament, a bond slave in Israel had more freedom and more liberty and more civil rights than so-called free men. And when you are a bond servant of the Lord, you're free. Now the story is told of a dog. And every time he went out, his master would put the leash on his collar to control him. And the dog complained, "Oh, I don't like this. I want to be free." And one day, his plan worked. The master opened the door. As a rule, he would stop and let the master attach the leash. This time he ran out. Freedom! Well, he did pretty good locally, running up and down the street. Then he went out onto the main highway. Rush hour. And there he is in the streets. Horns tooting, tires screeching, and this animal is out there, frightened. And he got a little ways in a safe place and he said, "Oh, I wish my master would come and get me." There is no such thing as absolute freedom. You are either a bondservant of sin and Satan or a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know it's an honor to be a bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ? Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. Now I shall be repeating many of the things that our brother has just said. And some things I'm going to omit because he said them. And I believe that God is speaking to us in repeating the same thoughts over and over and over. We have, therefore, no excuse. You can't say they said so many things I can't remember anything because everything is being repeated. And we are responsible. Romans 1 and verse 3. Paul, the great Apostle Paul. And I want to tell you, he was a great man. How many of you can speak, not write, speak Hebrew and Greek and Latin? Please raise your hands. Paul did all of that. Learned in the best schools. And this epistle to the Romans is used by those who are studying law and at the highest degrees. Argumentation. This is one of the greatest pieces of argumentation to be found anywhere in the world. Written by the Apostle Paul. Verse 1 of chapter 1, notice how he introduces himself. Paul, a servant. It's no disgrace to be a servant of the Lord. Why, it's one of the highest callings in the universe. Paul, a servant. You look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and you find the same thing. Peter, a servant. And I like the way he puts it. He says, Peter, a servant and an apostle. Now, if I had to write it, apart from divine inspiration, I would put Arthagons, apostle, and I don't know if I'd put servant. How about it? But we are bond servants. And it's a high calling. Matthew 6 and 22. Every believer is a bond servant. Matthew 6. Make it 24, please. Now we read in Romans, you're either serving the Lord, or you're serving sin and Satan. Matthew 6 and 24, no man. Now here again, you see these intellectuals, and with all due respect to you lovely sister here, this woman living. It's the biggest piece of nonsense that you can think of. It says no man, that means the women too. These folks don't know the English language. That's why they talk It says man, therefore, doesn't mean woman. It means all of us. No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and man. Now notice what it says. It didn't say you should not. It doesn't say you may not. It doesn't say you must not. It says you cannot. It's impossible to serve God and serve Satan. Now I ask you, child of God, whom are you serving? See, it's all very simple. You know the story of these two great men. They were two Germans. I think one was Goethe and the other Beethoven. I don't remember the names. But one was saying, you know, I find things in the Bible, they give me a hard time. They're so difficult to understand. You know what the other one said? The things in the Bible that give me trouble are the things I understand. How about it? Now, we are bondservants, right? And you cannot serve two masters. I ask you, whom are you serving? That's a divine principle. Now, we want to look at some of the responsibilities of service. What is expected of bondservants? What should they be doing? What is required of a bondservant? Luke 6 and 46. Now we're all bondservants, either of Satan or of the Lord. What is expected of a bondservant? Luke 6 and 46. You know, again, I say it's lovely to hear those pages turning. Now, you must develop the ear if you haven't, because I want to tell you, there's music when you hear the Bible pages turning. Beautiful. A group of the Lord's people with His Word turning the pages. I don't know how you feel. It's a happy experience. Luke 6 and 46. Why do you call me Lord and you don't do the things which I say? Now, if He is Lord, we owe Him complete 100% obedience. Right? Now, I ask you, who's Lord? Is He your Lord? Are you granting Him 100% obedience? Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. Let's read verse 16. You know, it's about Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis 19, verse 16. While he lingered, that is Lot, the men, these men sent by God, laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife, upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. It came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for your life. Get out of here. Don't look behind you. Don't look in the plain. Escape to the mountain. Verse 18, Lot said, not so, my Lord. Why call me Lord and don't do what I say? The two things don't go together. If he is Lord, then you do what he says. I ask again, beloved, is he your Lord? Are you in complete obedience? You know, Peter did the same thing. Back there in Acts 10, the Lord sent down this food for him to eat. Not so, my Lord. I've never eaten anything unclean. He calls him Lord, but he doesn't want to do what he says. The Lord requires from his servants absolute, complete obedience. Now, when you get home, read Jeremiah chapter 35. It's a fascinating reading. Here were a group of people who didn't drink wine. And when the prophet asked, why don't you drink wine? They say, well, our great-grandfather told us not to do it. And you know the Lord complimented him? Obedience, even to an earthly relative. How much more should we obey him? Complete obedience. You know, it's like you sisters, when you're making a nice cake or the pastry. Now, you all are experienced, so you don't need a recipe. But for an inexperienced person, you follow the recipe. Am I right? Now make one mistake, and instead of getting a cake, you get a catastrophe. 100% obedience. That's what the Lord requires. Not 90%. Relative of mine, he likes mathematics. So at college, he took a course in what is called the theory of numbers. Now, you mathematicians, that's high business. I never went that high. After I finished the last required course, that was it. But this particular brother likes advanced math. Now, there was one problem that was presented to them, and Professor Gill says, I know of only one way to solve this problem, and I'm going to show you how to solve it, and next week I'm going to test you. And he showed them how to solve it. He says, this is the only way that I know that you can get a correct answer. Next week, examination came, and there was one student. He thought he would solve it a different way. Well, he did pretty good. But Professor Gill gave him a zero. And the student said, but Professor, I have all the numbers in the right place. I just have one decimal where it shouldn't be. I was almost right. Professor Gill said, almost right is completely wrong. Complete, total obedience. That's what God requires of us. I'm watching. Brother, please let me know when my time is up. Years ago, there was a young fellow named William Capel. You see, I like the piano, and I remember these pianists. He was a young fellow about 28, and he had ability. And he came down to Juilliard Youth School, and at that time, the greatest piano teacher available was Madame Stokowski. And he went to her, had an interview, I want to take lessons under you. She said, I have heard about you. You like to do things your way. Now I am going to give you 3 weeks. You have to decide to do what I tell you, when I tell you, and how I tell you, and where I tell you. And if you agree, I'll teach you. He came back and he agreed. Became one of the greatest pianists of his time. He died in a plane crash coming across from Australia. And I tell you today, there is one of his recordings I've heard many people play. They don't play it like it. Complete, total obedience. Walk before God. Obey his commands, yield to his demands, and beware of calling Jesus Lord and slighting his command. Now we must go on. We say a lot more about obedience. There is something else that we expect from a servant. I will simply mention it because we talked about it on Friday night. You expect a servant to work, don't you? That's what you pay him for. And God expects us to work. That was Friday night. We are to obey, and we are to work. God expects his servants to have what we call integrity, moral rectitude. They are to be trustworthy. Matthew 24. Remember, beloved, we are servants. And there are certain things that are expected. Matthew 24 and 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? God expects his servants to be faithful, to do the job. Don't cheat. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 42. I hope you don't mind turning the pages back and forth, but young folks, that's the only way to learn the Bible, see? You're not going to learn sitting down there looking at one chapter. Look and compare and study and get thrilled with the Word of God. Then you won't have to buy these magazines that they're selling and these other things that they have for the teeth. You won't need them. If you study the Word of God, you get some real thrills. Now let me show you a thrill. Genesis, did I say? Yeah, chapter 45. And if this doesn't thrill you, ask the Lord to help you. They talk about somebody needs help. If you don't get thrills out of the Word of God, you really need help. You're in a bad way. Genesis chapter 45, please. 42 and verse 25. God wants us to be honest. Oh, my. Terrible, huh? All right, 42 and 25, that's it. Joseph, you know the story, so we won't go to the story. Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn, to restore every man's money into his sack, to give them provision for the way, and thus did he unto them. Put every man's money back in the sack. All right? Well, now Joseph was the big boss, you see? I'm next to Pharaoh. These are my relatives, though you don't know it. Now, I want you to put back what I've ordered in there. I'll put the money back there, too. I'm Joseph. I don't account for anybody. Chapter 43, please. We must deal with honesty and integrity in the service of the Lord. Chapter 43? Yes. Verse 19. They came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house, and said, "Oh, sir, we came indeed down at the first time to buy food. It came to pass when we came to the inn that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of the sack, our money in full weight, and we have brought it again in our hand. We also have other money, but we don't know who put the money in our sacks." Verse 23. He said, "Peace be unto you, fear not. Your God and the God of your father has given you treasure in your sacks." Now notice, I had your money. Where did you get it from? Joseph said, "Put back their money." He says, "I have your money." It was paid for. Who paid for it? Joseph paid for it. He didn't have to, but he worked with integrity. And that's what we need in the Lord's service. By the way, brothers and sisters, we need it especially in doing business with our fellow brethren and sisters in the Lord. Oh, I've heard some terrible things. How a brother, he treated the brother cruelly. The brother was almost in tears, and the fellow's brother said, "Look, brother, this is business. This is not the subject." Terrible, isn't it? Honestly. Now, there's an old story. A king ordered an architect to build him a palace. You've heard this. Now, the architect was a good man, but he was dishonest. He erected a building which had a stately appearance, but was made of shoddy material. When it was completed, the king said, I have long wanted to reward you for your excellent work. That was a bee. I don't know where he came from. I have long wanted to reward you for your excellent work. This palace is yours. Here are the keys. Live to me. Now, that's funny, huh? We are going to be presented before the Lord, and he's going to evaluate everything we have done, whether it's gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, and stuff. What are you putting into the Lord's work? Your servant. As our brother was telling us, are you giving of your best to the master? Oh, I hope we are. We could say more. Another thing we need in the Lord's service is zeal. Real zeal, ardor, industry, diligence, enthusiasm. You don't do something, well, it has to be done, so I'll do it. But do it with gusto. That's the way to do the Lord's work. Oh, I'll never forget you. Maybe I'll tell you who this was. But read with me in Romans chapter 12. Verse 11. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Our brother has been telling us about that. Oh, I remember one time the elders met. And I don't remember what the problem was, but I remember we weren't making any progress. And our brother very forcefully read this verse and accused us rightly of being slothful. Don't be slothful in the work of the Lord. Numbers chapter 25. Be diligent. Work and work hard. We reminded ourselves on Friday night, there's no disgrace in work. The disgrace is in being idle. Those fellows on the corner that won't work, that's the disgrace. Not those that work. Numbers chapter 25, verse 6. Behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. When Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation, took a javelin in his hand, went after the man of Israel into the tent, thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. We would say abdomen. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. Those that died in the plague were 24,000. The Lord said unto Moses, say, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, has turned my wrath from the children of Israel because he was zealous. And I didn't want to be lazy people. You're going to serve the Lord, serve with zeal. Serve with them and vigor. I must tell you this. You need to be zealous, see? Radium. Do you know the story of radium, how it was discovered? Now you ladies can feel good about this because it was discovered by a woman. Oh, Madame Marie Curie. And she was digging and digging and digging, and all the big scientists laughed. You're wasting your time. No, there's something there. And she kept digging, and one day she found it. What did she find? Radium. Is radium useful? She didn't find it overnight. It took a long time. I was telling the folks last night concerning a certain drug for the treatment of syphilis. Before the turn of the century, that was difficult. You didn't have penicillin. Difficult to treat. And there was this expression in connection with syphilis, syphilis disease. Now, Venus is the god of love, see? And Mercury was what they used to treat the disease. That's all they knew. So the expression was, 1 hour with Venus and 2 years with Mercury. That was the treatment then. And this man named Ehrlich says, we've got to do better than that. He was a chemist. And he worked, and he worked, and he tried, and he tried. You know he tried 500 different chemicals. Wouldn't you stop? Oh no, he went on to 600. And then he tried 601. That didn't work. 602. That didn't work. 603. That didn't work. 604. That didn't work. 605. That didn't work. 606. Yes. Zeal. And that's what we need in the Lord's service. Don't get discouraged and give up. As long as the Lord tells you, you keep at it. We are servants. We don't decide when to stop. The Lord decides when we stop. Now, brother, you haven't said anything, but... Oh, well, the brother tells me I have 6 minutes. Now, let's make this real fast. Another thing we need is loyalty and devotion. Stick-to-itiveness, steadfastness. That's what our brother was talking about. Let me read you about John Moon. He traveled 250,000 miles on horseback, preaching the gospel. Horseback now. Not an automobile. Not even a bicycle. He preached 40,000 sermons, produced hundreds of books, spoke 10 languages, and preached the gospel in 10 languages. This is some man, isn't it? This is the man. At age 83. By the way, that's my age. He was concerned that he could not write more than 15 hours a day without hurting his eyes. How many hours a day do you write? 83, and he's upset because after writing for 15 hours, his eyes are painful. And see, this is a man that has devotion. He was ashamed that he could not preach more than twice a day. He noted, oh please note below, there was an increasing tendency to lie late in the bed until 5:30 in the morning. That's why he accomplished things for God. And if we are going to accomplish things as servants, we must be full of zeal and devotion. All right, I'll take one more. I won't go into this, I'm simply going to mention it. I suppose two of those 6 minutes have gone. You know something, beloved, that we are lacking? As believers? Reverence. Please say amen, because we're lacking reverence. Why, whether you like the president or not, and he called you there, he wouldn't behave the way some of us behave here. See? Now, I'm not pointing at anybody, but I want to say this. If the president said to you, I want you in my office at 9 o'clock, I guarantee you'd be there at 8:30. Am I right? What time did the meeting start this morning? Was it scheduled? Where was the Lord at 10:30? Where were you? I mean, this sort of thing, this is serious. We are bond servants. We're not supposed to do what we want to do. We have to do what He wants us to do. Reverence. Oh, there's so much reverence. Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 6. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? If I be a master, where is my respect? That's what that word fear means. Reverence for the Lord. Reverence in His presence. Proper behavior in the presence of the Lord. It's greatly lacking. How do you address the Lord? How do you address the Lord? When the Lord was here, not one of His disciples ever called Him Jesus. Now look at them. They never addressed Him as Jesus. How should we address the Lord? Acts chapter 2, He is, I'm trying to get through in a hurry. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's not the little babe in His mother's arms. Why, do you know that when His mother was holding Him in her arms, He was holding up the whole universe by the power of His word? That's Hebrews 1. Think on it. She's holding Him and He's holding up the universe. And you're going to refer to Him as sweet little Jesus boy? We need to be ashamed. And you're going to refer to Him as the man upstairs? He's not the man upstairs, He's the man in the glory. We need to be careful. You want to tell me, beloved, when you speak, do you ever say, darn? Don't say it anymore. Now go home and look it up. Do you ever say, gosh? Anybody? I want to ask you to raise your hand. Well, look it up and find out what it means. You're taking the Lord's name in vain. And do you ever say, oh, mercy? Do you say that? Gracious. Those are divine attributes. Those are not to be uttered in any way. He is God. And we are to respect Him as God. Now, I must stop. What have we said so far? We are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.